It isn't often you have someone actually seek out a situation that would end with an arrest and a trip to jail. But Claudia Munoz did exactly that. She got herself seized as an undocumented immigrant at the Ambassador Bridge. She wanted to see for herself what things are like at the Immigration Detention Center in Calhoun County near Battle Creek. Claudia is part of the National Immigrant Youth Alliance. It's an activist group based in Washington. Their mission is to highlight immigration cases and pressure authorities to take a fresh look at their detention and deportation practices. Claudia Munoz joins us now. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
Well, your passion for the cause of undocumented immigrants truly begins with your own story because you are an undocumented immigrant. Will you tell us your story?
Sure. So I am from Monterrey, Mexico, about 3 hours from the border with Laredo, Texas. I grew up there up until I was 15. For a long time, my family kept coming back and forth. I have generations of family that have lived in Texas for a while, and so I always saw the United States as this comfort place for me. And so my family came back and forth for a long time. When I was finally 15, the situation in Monterrey, the violence, the drug issues, just, you know, it started to escalate. And so at that point, I had a tourist visa and passport, and knowing that it will be really, really hard for me to, you know, apply for a student visa or any type of other, you know, work visa, because those things are usually, you know, for the wealthy, for the politically well-connected in my country. I came to the United States, and then finally, I kept going back and forth. Finally, when I had just turned 17, I finally stayed in the country, and I went to high school here. I went to college. I graduated with honors back in 2009.
So you stayed in the U.S. after your tourist visa expired, fearing the dangers and the drug violence in Monterrey.
Yes, that's correct.
But now you didn't qualify for the DREAM Act. Is that correct?
That's correct, because the last time I entered, I was already 16. And so even though I had been entering back and forth since I was little and more frequently since I was 15, I don't qualify for that.
And just to clarify for our listeners, the DREAM Act is the one which allows certain undocumented youth to win permanent residency. So what got you, Claudia Munoz, involved in the immigrant rights movement, even above and beyond your own story as an undocumented immigrant?
Sure. So I had been pretty involved in Texas, where I have lived for the past 12 years of my life, for the past 10 years of my life. And I have been pretty involved there with the immigrants' rights movement, with fighting for, you know, to continue our in-state tuition for undocumented immigrants. And up until 2010, I was super, you know, really involved with the DREAM Act effort. I was lobbying in D.C. when the votes were happening, and it seemed like that was the most important thing for Congress to pass regarding immigration up until that point. After it failed, it became really apparent to some groups that wasn't really the intention. It was more like a political game that you know, politicians were playing in D.C. So up until that, I came back home. I was really disenchanted with the whole movement and how it was going. And my nephew, actually, a couple of months after that, my nephew ended up in deportation proceedings. He was arrested in Austin. He was 19 or 18 at the time. And I reached out to many of those groups, United We Dream groups, Fiel in Houston, some other groups, which I had been working up until that point. And my nephew was charged with a misdemeanor at that time.
What did your nephew get charged with?
So he was charged with possession of less than 2 ounces, I believe, of marijuana. So it was a misdemeanor. But the issue hadn't been resolved. You know, his friend and himself had been in a car. They searched the car. They found that. And they pressured them into taking blame for both of the charges, for the charge for the misdemeanor. And so I reached out to those groups and I told them, hey, look, this is what's going on. We're fighting the criminal case, you know, to get it dismissed. And they basically told me, oh, no, we don't touch criminal cases. We don't fight for the deportation of people that have criminal charges. And so at that point, my eyes really opened. You know, I had been somebody that had just dedicated to this. You know, these people were my friends, were my family. And the distinctions that some groups had been talking about, mainly the National Immigrant Youth Alliance, when they broke apart from United We Dream, I really saw those things happening. So eventually my nephew got the charges dismissed. But by then, you know, by the time that I reached out to the National Immigrant Youth Alliance, who believe in fighting for all people, it was a little too late. So we're still fighting my nephew's case. But essentially it was that moment when my own family was, you know, going through that deportation stage, and it became apparent that even though we fight for these laws, we keep fighting for, you know, for legislation, the reality of families being separated is essentially what's hurting our communities the most, with 1,000 deportations happening every single day.
I'm speaking with Claudia Munoz of the National Immigrant Youth Alliance. Claudia got herself arrested by plan at the Ambassador Bridge, arrested as an undocumented immigrant, because she wanted to see firsthand what it's like at the Immigration Detention Center in Calhoun County near Battle Creek. And Claudia, this is a strategy from the National Immigrant Youth Alliance. I believe you're the fourth person who has been arrested. What was it about Michigan that drew the attention of the National Immigrant Youth Alliance?
Sure. So we, you know, as a national organization, we always hear about immigration doing certain things in certain states. So in some states, we've heard that, you know, ICE officers, mm-hmm. agents use tactics to get people to sign voluntary departure. So they're pretty much forced into it. Some other states we hear immigration does raids around schools and churches and some other really vulnerable spaces. In Michigan, however, we keep hearing all these things happening all in one state. And the main thing that we wanted to prove in Michigan was that they were completely disregarding the prosecutorial discretion memo from 2011.
And explain that memo to our listeners.
Yes. So the prosecutorial discretion memorandum is basically saying that given the large number of undocumented immigrants in the United States and recognizing that there are some immigrants that had been here for a long time, some have gone to school, some have children, spouses, or other relatives who are citizens, that immigration was going to focus their resources on deporting only criminal aliens with violent crimes, with felonies. So the memo basically said that they were going to defer the deportation of those people that were considered low priority. So a low priority for deportation.
So what I understand then is it's become the National Immigrant Youth Alliance has been aware that many of these problems seem to be concentrated with Immigration and Customs Enforcement here in Michigan. So you crossed the Ambassador Bridge with the intention of being arrested, correct?
Yeah, so I didn't go through the bridge because I will be crossing into Canada. So I went up to the toll booth and I basically told them, because we had heard of many cases, this is how people got arrested in Michigan. And so we knew that the moment we went there, you know, we just told the booth aid person that we made a wrong exit and we needed to turn around. The moment you turn around and that exit, you have to go through immigration. And so they told us, go to the gray building, told them you made the wrong turn and that you need to exit. And so we did that. And by the moment we went to the gray building, that was immigration. They told us to get out of the car and show them our IDs. And so that's how I got arrested.
So you went to Calhoun County Jail in Battle Creek. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah. So Calhoun County Jail, you know, when people think of detention centers for immigrants, they think that it's only a detention center only for immigrants. So Michigan doesn't have one of those detention centers. They have county jails that contract beds for immigration. And so Calhoun County is one of these. And so the immigrants are mixed in with the general population. And so we were in there with people that had, you know, drug charges, driving while intoxicated charges, prostitution charges. And so we were mixed in with the general population. And it was really the first thing that really hit me when I got there was I was in the female only side, of course, and so my interaction was mainly with women, with immigrant detainees that were women, and it was really painful just hearing their cries. You know, some of them didn't know why they were in jail. They knew they were being held for immigration, but they were like, "This is a jail. You know, I don't feel like I'm being detained here until my court date. I feel like I'm serving time for a crime, and I haven't committed any crime." And essentially, that's how I felt too. And it was just really painful seeing the conditions there for the women. Some of them had 4 or 3 children that they couldn't see, that they had to take out of school because their, you know, husband still had to go to work. And it was quite heartbreaking. I also witnessed immigration officers there pressuring people to sign their voluntary departure threatening them with jail time, with solitary confinement, and harsh punishments. So it was quite the experience in there.
So how did you finally get out?
So I was able to be released on bond, which again, if ICE Michigan was following prosecutorial discretion guidelines, I should have never been arrested in the first place. But finally, they gave me a bond hearing, and I went to my hearing, and they gave me a $4,000 bond. And so I'm still in deportation proceedings. That just means that I'm allowed to be outside because the judge didn't believe I posed a threat to the country or I was in a flight risk. And so she released me on a $4,000 bond.
So I know that as part of your work with the National Immigrant Youth Alliance and part of being an activist is you do hear all sides of the issue. And Claudia, you know there are people listening to us right now who hold the view that you and other undocumented immigrants didn't follow the rules, so to speak, and that the protections and considerations that you're fighting for rightfully belong to immigrants who did follow the rules. I'm using air quotes here. But how do you respond to that view?
Yeah, I mean, I know those people are out there, and I understand their point of view. I just also think that, you know, the immigration system is so broken, not only here, but before you come here, it's also broken for us in our country. So like I was saying in the beginning, I had a tourist visa and passport since I was little, but there was no way for me to actually, unless I had $1 million to invest and get like a business visa, or I could prove three time my income for a student visa that I wasn't going, you know, that I wasn't going to apply for any loans or scholarships or grants, or unless I was politically connected. The immigration system in countries like mine, Mexico, is not designed for those who need it. And so my family, we're not wealthy. We're not politically connected. We were going through some serious violence and drug issues over there. And there was no way for us to actually come legally. And it was the same case for many of the women that I met there that were indigenous or from South Mexico. They're not considered high skilled labor. And so because of that, there's no way for them to come legally. And so I understand when these people say that. And I wish they would understand that for some people, the people that need it, the people that are literally starving or being raped or being abused in our countries, there's just not such line. If there was such a line, there's almost this assumption that we like being here, you know, illegally, that it's somehow a fun, sexy life, but it's really not. And so I just wish people realize that when we ask for this, you know, for this immigration system to be fixed, it's not only here, it's not only for those of us who are here, but it's also because it's so broken even before we get here. Now, there's no line, there's no way for us to actually do it the right way.
Claudia Munoz, what changes do you believe need to be made to policies, both federal and here in Michigan, regarding the detaining of undocumented immigrants?
So I think locally in Michigan and just in other states, the field office, there has to be more accountability. They should follow the guidelines because immigration, again, is a federal issue. Those federal guidelines should be enforced locally. So I think that's one thing that really opened my eyes, that, you know, officers in Michigan weren't following those guidelines at all. The other thing federally, I mean, I think like I was saying, I think that we need to fix the immigration system so that those who are actually coming here illegally, those people that need it the most, are able to do so from their own countries. And, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about immigration reform, and what lawmakers are passing as immigration reform, I highly doubt is going to solve anybody's problems. And so while I appreciate the effort, I actually side with people who say that it's not ideal, and I don't believe that as it stands, it should be passed. It should address larger issues of why people come here in the first place.
Claudia Munoz with the National Immigrant Youth Alliance. Claudia, thanks for talking with us on the program.
Thanks for having me.